Rise and shine, St. Louis. It's the Ryan Kelly Morning After with Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, and Doug Vaughn. It's time to start your day off right. Now here's Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
707 in St. Louis, you're listening to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. This is 590 The Fan, KFNS. It's also 105.7 HD2 FM. It's also InsideSTL.com. We're in the Gateway Buick GMC Studios, and we're loaded for bear to keep you warm on this cold winter morning in St. Louis. Snuggle up, grab yourself a Hennessy, and see if today you'll be the top.
You know, usually Doug says I'm not going to be much good to you or whatever. Today he said I'm going to warm everybody up with red hot takes. So, Dougie, I know you got a couple. Go ahead and light the fire. Kind of a fun game last night.
You're right. Slow start for the Warriors, but look at the way they were able to respond in the second half. And then at the college level, here's West Virginia kind of receiving what they doled out to the Tigers back in November. A big lead, a 16-point lead against Kansas. And just like 2015, the Jayhawks come back against the Mountaineers, and they win. Also, what is going on with Ben Simmons' behavior with the Sixers? Your thoughts, 855-282-8255.
Go ahead, Doug. Light the fire. Light the fire.
Are you kidding me?
I can't light any fires. I'm just not going to be much good to you. I didn't get home till about 2:30.
What's wrong, baby?
What?
maybe you shouldn't go out boozing.
Did you script this segment?
No, I was with Greg Vaughn.
Because nobody could have seen my Ben Simmons take coming.
With Greg Vaughn at the emergency room at Mercy Hospital.
What?
He was in the French Quarter with some fraternity friends this weekend and took a bit of a header on a metal pole down there on Bourbon Street. Hit a decorative metal horse head that was on a pole. I said, "How did you do this? What did you do?" He goes, "Well, you know what the Euro step is?" I said, "No."
Of course you don't.
He said, "It's a basketball move where you go a big step to the right and then a big step to the left and then you lay it in." Well, my friend and I, we were doing that to people on Bourbon Street, just acting silly.
They were showing their game off on Bourbon.
Dramatic moves to move around people, and he made one of his Euro steps and almost ran into a little kid, so moved over to avoid him, tripped, and took a big header on a metal pole. And they said he was gushing blood, but he said he didn't run and do anything about it. They were in the French Quarter. He was going to keep going out for the night, so he put a Band-Aid on it. Meantime, he's got this big gash above his eyebrow. So he's coming home last night. I said, "Well, we better go get it stitched up. You're going to have a huge scar the rest of your life if we don't." He goes, "Well, okay." So the bus driver driving through the snow, they've been coming from New Orleans. He doesn't want to stop anywhere in St. Louis to let him out. I said, "You got to let him out. I got to get you to the hospital tonight. You can't let a scar sit forever." So the bus driver agreed to pull over on the side of 270 near the Graboy exit so Greg could get, it's 0 degrees out. He's in a T-shirt. So I could come pick him up and take him to the emergency room. And so we got there about midnight, got to the emergency room at Mercy. And, you know, you wait for an hour and a half to get processed and everything. And the doctor comes in and looks and says, "Well, we can do a little something with it. But we don't have the right anesthesia right now. That's down at the pharmacy in the middle of the hospital." So we waited for 30 or 40 minutes for that. And then by about 2 o'clock or so, they got him stitched up, and we went back home. Mm. So I'm on 2.5 hours of sleep, I guess.
I got to tell you.
No, I'm not going to be much good to you.
Well, that's a heartwarming story of a father's love for his son. I've said this to you many times before. You, sir, are a role model for fathers everywhere. Good for you.
Well, what else are you going to do? You're going to let him say,
you could say, you don't want stitches, you don't get stitches. Go ahead, Scar Boy. But you know what? You took care of your son.
Well, if you did that to your leg or your arm or something, you'd say, "Okay, I can deal with it. We don't need stitches."
And by the way, you sound great.
But if it's your face, I think you got to get your face
worked
on.
You took care of your boy, and you sound great. Now the hot takes.
I don't have much in the way of hot takes. I didn't even see the
Kansas What about this
game.
Quarterback situation in the NFL playoffs? You got Brady and everybody else. Who said you don't need a great quarterback, huh?
Yeah.
Where are all the people who said it's a league full of quarterbacks now?
Where are they? They're all in hiding. They all feel bad about their takes. Boy, we don't. We had it nailed all along.
For those folks that want to hand the Super Bowl trophy to the Patriots right now, I got news for you. They got to earn it on the field.
The Cardinals need to spend money.
boy, people are mad.
They're mad as harnets.
They are mad. Like some guy was going after me on Twitter.
Ooh, nice. I got to go look at that.
I tweeted out a picture of the marketing folks from the Cardinals were there, and they broke out some of the giveaways. The giveaways that the Cardinals have are nice.
Bobbleheads?
For the Hall of Famers, the Cardinal Hall of Famers. People love that stuff. So they were like, hey, can you tweet out? Yeah, because they're cool, Gibby and Brock. And I said, people love seeing that.
Sure.
And then so I tweet out, and this guy's all over me. The sheep Cardinal fans, blah, 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 from some guy, 20 years baseball experience. And in his profile, it said, if I tell you something, take it to the bank. So I tweet out.
We look forward to your show at 1 a.m. here on 590 The Fan.
I tweet out a picture of the bobbleheads, and this guy's like, when are you going to stop lying and covering for? They're cutting payroll, blah, 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 blah.
Which
and,
tweet was it? The mascot tweet?
Yeah, on the bobblehead. Right, so I go,
see what it's doing.
So I said, he said, I'm a liar or whatever for the Cardinals. And I said, okay, big guy, I'll take it to the bank, because that's what he said in his thing. And then I saw later in the night before I went to bed that he tweeted back at me or whatever. I told your pal, and he's like, who's crazy now? And I just said, who's crazy? The guy who became unglued over a picture of bobbleheads.
Who's the wild man now, Doug? John Favreau, 1992, Rudy, as Sean Astin makes the tackle.
But everything that I would tweet from the winter warm-up, and I wasn't trying to tweet the exact...
Why are you covering up for the Cardinals' prophets?
That's what that was. And people were like, be great, except we don't have a closer. And if you say to me... Hey, do you think the Cardinals need to add to the bullpen? You know what I would say? Yes.
No. Whoa!
I never said.
Boy, that's not Rice Holder talk.
I never said it. But I will say this, though. Maybe I'm wrong on this. You guys are, guys that are legends in the business.
Right.
So if the Cardinals are still in on a starter, but they didn't go for Reed, and it seems like maybe they're going to stick with what they have in the bullpen for the most part in terms of the end of games. Is it possible that they're going after a starter because they're like, yeah, Reyes could be better than anyone we could get? I mean, this is just a theory, but it's like, and I said this the other day, but I believe it more now. Okay, if Reyes isn't in your starting rotation, which they've already said he could start in the bullpen, he'll start in May, whatever, then I think you're going to need another starter.
My wager yesterday was, after the Luke Gregerson comment from John Mozeliak over the weekend sent some people into a fit.
Tilt.
Yes, it did tilt. That's exactly right. My theory is this. First off, if they do have something going on, he's not going to go, well, we have here's what we're considering right now. Also, we have a unique situation in free agency where so many guys are still out there, even though it's January 16th. And then finally, my play is, if Luke Gregerson is the Cardinal closer in May without some kind of big injuries that aren't on the table right now, I would be very surprised. That is my play.
And
so Plowhawk saved the audio, and I can be held accountable, although I think many of the people who are wanting to make the Cardinals great again are not really listeners of this program. I don't even know if they're listeners of 101. I don't know where they come out from. They just pop up on Twitter.
But the Reyes factor, do you think that's how they think?
That was my point, right, is that so, I think Reyes could be in the mix or somebody who's not on the roster right now.
I wonder if that's the plan. Not even in the mix. They're saying, look, we could spend all this money on someone who we don't love. That's another thing. Sometimes just because it seems to make sense and everyone says that's the guy, the Cardinals have their own way of analyzing guys. Maybe they don't feel he's the guy. So if you have a guy who's closed games, you have Lyons who's been good at the end of ball games. And then you have Reyes, who you're trying to limit his innings anyway, who can be a dominant pitcher. Maybe that's the plan. Maybe that's what they're looking
for. I can't see the tweet. It's under this tweet with Fred Bird and you?
No.
You're wrong.
Look for the one with, that one.
The bobble.
So look, there's some guy went after him, and it's a bobble, right?
I want to see if we can get him on the show.
Can you confirm to the listener? It's a harmless thing. I didn't say these bobbleheads are just as good as the Cardinal bullpen as it sits today.
Mm. I have to say, I looked at the one. I couldn't tell that was Red Shanings. I was trying to figure out who
you're
going to
hold the bobblehead community accountable.
Yeah. Well, his hair wasn't red.
Go down.
I think it is, actually.
It looked blonde to me. I thought, is that McGuire?
I'd say it's 80% I got this guy blocked. So he's got all the makings of somebody I would have blocked.
Here, I'm going to find it for you. Doug, why don't you...
Hold on a second. I got. Oh, yeah, I'm actually familiar with this. It's got to say so. Hold on a second.
He says he's a scout for the Red Sox here it for is, 20 here. Years. I Googled
this
that.
This is kind of surprising. Now, the avatar is power to the sheeple, so you check that box off. MLB expert, check that box off. And former scout with the Red Sox for 20 years. Doug, former scout.
Okay.
But I did Google, and I
if I give
find...
you an opinion on baseball or politics, you can take it to the bank. Huge Trump supporter in that box. So there
read,
it is.
So read the discussion.
Spend some money fixing the clown show on the field and less time creating bobbleheads and building Ballpark Village. Are you sure this just isn't Stephen Wildwood's
I thought
it's burner
account? So read what I wrote to him.
I can't believe the sheeple are so stupid they let DeWallet. This is like the thing I was mocking on the fan. This was like my satire. This was my Jon Stewart, Bill O'Reilly.
Okay,
so he wrote, I hope this is a parody account. Well done, sir. Immediate read. Jim, if you can actually put on the web with a straight face that this team is trying to win, your account should be a parody account. Have some balls and call out the organization for 3 years of lies and taking the fans for granted. And Doug, this enhances his brand.
What is it?
It's not a GIF, but it's an image of a stack of 100s locked in a chain and in a deadbolt, and it says miserly next to it.
Hmm. Okay, so I follow
up. So the
up.
Cat wrote, okay, big guy, I'm taking it to the bank. Doug, and then this guy who again, has power to the sheeple as his avatar. If I give you a scoop on MLB, you can take it to the bank. I still think this might be, Stephen Wildwood. Or just like
so.
One of Buck Swope's accounts. I told everybody, including your pal Gould, that the Cards were cutting payroll this winter, not adding any. Mo was told that he must cut payroll 10% per year for the next 5 years. Gould told me I was crazy. Who is crazy now? Who's crazy? The guy who came unglued over a pick of bobbleheads. Context, good sir. You had a nice performance in there. I would never, and I would just go, oh, block. But yeah, that was a nice play, sir.
I try, if someone's not going to be like mean or say something, you know, trying to be nasty, I don't block. Because I figure that's the game on Twitter.
Well,
you're
going to
make jokes. Someone wants
you, but it's just like, okay, this guy's a little off the, you know.
I honestly don't
want to deal with it down the road.
But I wasn't 100% certain it's not a parody that someone is playing a role.
Well,
I did Google him.
Over the next couple of minutes is... He's gonna have a lot of mentions.
I Googled
him. Dotem will probably be active.
Someone look up to see if they can find him as a 20-year scout. Because if you Google the name, you would think you'd find him.
Well, then
he could
be a great baseball insider for us for the upcoming season. This would be great.
I just thought to myself, if you're a guy who's been in baseball for a long time, you're probably not throwing out names at people. You know, you probably act differently.
I think I've seen Dombrowski on there kind of holding the Cardinals accountable.
I don't think so. Does this guy have a picture?
Yeah.
A picture of himself?
No, that's actually surprising because usually people, when they troll on the internet, use their real names.
No.
In their,
and context.
But it's a picture of a flag and power to the sheeple.
Now, context. If I say, as I did, I said, maybe I'm just caught up in the warm embrace of Cardinal Nation, but I'm issuing the Cardinals a spirit win for today. All right, which is a parody unto itself, people. There's no such thing as a spirit win. It's an homage to the great Joe Strauss, who I miss at the winter warm-up every year.
He loved the winter warm-up.
I miss seeing him. Anyway, but this was a picture of bobbleheads. You know, put some context. I didn't say, nope, bullpen is as good as any in the league. Didn't say that. I said, hey, great bobbleheads.
Do you think if you get too worked up over one guy in a tweet that you're
playing
right into his hands?
No, I wasn't really worked up. I just thought it was good fodder for the show. As you can tell by my responses, I wasn't really worked up.
Stephen Wildwood texting in, I wish it was me, but I ran out of hate by September of the season. Thank you. That's Steve Wildwood.
All right, Steve. He hadn't emailed in lately, has he?
Well, what's going on with Stephen Wildwood?
I don't know. Maybe changed his name.
And this whole thing that they haven't... If you said to me, have the Cardinals done enough to be right there with the Cubs, I'm going to say... Probably not. I was hoping another move or two is yet to come. And we've all agreed. I've said that, right? But to say they've done nothing is not accurate at all.
No, it isn't. It isn't.
This is dangerous because we're all three on the same page, and we're also in a... It's not a straw man argument because we know that this operation exists out there, but it's a vocal minority of the fan base. And they're super vocal. And it's also, I don't really think much of our audience. I don't know what whose audience it is. I really don't think it's like Bernie Miklas' audience. I could be wrong on that, because we're on at the same time as Bernie. If you want to listen, it's on 101 ESPN. I don't know who it is. I don't know where it's coming. I can't help but look at the organization's success over the last 18 seasons, and the model that they operate on, and then start going bat crap about the fact that they don't spend money when it isn't actually factually true. So I can't sit here and go, okay, well, I know this will get people riled up and then they'll listen, because I don't believe it. So I can't say it.
And if you talk to folks from other ball clubs, which I do, other ball executives from other ball clubs.
They got a good ball club.
They say one of the things that has put the Cardinals in a position to be successful every year is their discipline. I mean, that's what other teams look at as the right way to approach things.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that I'm saying, no, they're ready to go. They're just as good. Do they have a chance to be just as good? Yeah, I'd like to see other moves made.
Mm-hmm.
I've said that. I think they need a starter, too.
Unless you win the whole thing, there's always going to be some small faction of the fan base upset.
No, but they're really mad. No, but they're.
This is different this year.
People are. I'm telling you, people are mad about the bullpen.
But this was different when I did the interview on the podcast with John Mozeliak, which was back in, I guess it was the first week of November. I don't know. It was last week, October, first week of November, right in there. So before anything this offseason, he acknowledged that there is angst in the fan base that hasn't been seen in recent years. And I said that, too. I said, I feel like this is different because the organization hasn't had back-to-back postseason misses going back to 2008. But at that point, you're only 2 years removed from a world championship. Albert Pujols was still on the team. Adam Wainwright was in his prime. Yadier Molina was in his prime. And you didn't have the Cubs, which factors in. That's another thing.
It's a big thing, yeah.
I don't think, and I could be wrong on this, because I know, Doug, you and I have said it, the Cat, you're, of course, an outsider and can't possibly relate to the thought process that's at a meta level.
Thank you.
Is being a New Yorker, but I don't hate the Cubs, but like if you're from like the Plowhawks area, maybe a little south of there.
Oh, they hate them.
Right, but then a little north of where you are, where you grew up, you know, you're kind of in the border area. So if you don't have that, but meanwhile it's the Cubs doing this as opposed to, you know, the Reds or Pirates or something like that. So, but again, the other element of this that I just keep hammering is I'm not sold that they're done. Now, if they are, then I would be surprised by the lack of tending to the pitching this year. The one thing is, if they really do put a lot of stock in Michaelis, then that's a weird spot for Cardinal fans to analyze, because he hasn't been somebody you've been watching pitch in the major leagues the last few years. So that doesn't feel like an addition that maybe the front office feels like it is. And that was one of the first guys they went out and got. Might have been the first guy, actually. And you look at Gregerson's statistics in 2017, you go, oh, God, this is the closer after losing all those close games last year? That's your solution? Especially when you said, when I went down to interview Mozeliak in November, I thought that it was obvious that the goal of the offseason was the impact bat. And then he actually said, no, it's maybe 1B, but 1A is the bullpen. And if Luke Gregerson is tending to 1A, then I would say that that was not matched. So I get that. But then to take that surprise, even though free agency still has a lot to do here between now and the time teams show up at camp, despite the fact that it's already January 16th, I can understand people being pissed. But I then don't label the organization as miserly and that they're hoarding money. I just don't buy it. If you want to do that with the Miami Marlins, you certainly can. But here, when you've had this run of sustained competitive seasons and or championship success, along with the fact that, as Bill DeWitt III pointed out in the interview that we just posted on the Tim McKernan Show, that their revenue matches their payroll as far as rankings in Major League Baseball. So these are statistics. And when you get to numbers, it's tough to like extrapolate something and try to paint a conniving picture of the organization. Furthermore, based on the track record, I'm inclined to give them the benefit of the doubt, even if I were, quote, suspicious. So I just don't believe it. I don't believe it to be accurate.
And two things. And if the plan is, look, we think Reyes is going to be better, if that's the plan out of the bullpen than the guys out there, and we control that guy. I understand that. That's why I think that's my theory at this moment to explain what's going on. Secondly, if there is still to be a move made for someone in the bullpen, and we've talked about this before, you don't go to the winter warm-up and go, we are pursuing guys. We desperately need bullpen help. You don't portray it that way. You can't say that because other teams are listening, and you don't want to mess up your position in the negotiation.
With Reyes, I think if they start with him in the bullpen, then I would think that's where he's going to be all year. It'd be hard to go from a bullpen guy to now I'm a starting pitcher halfway through. I don't think that would be in the cards at all.
I agree with that. And he's so young, and if he's going to, and I think he's going to be a front of the rotation starter, I don't think it would hurt his progress to get this experience under his belt and then in another season migrate back to being a starter.
Guys, the Cat just admitted the Cardinals are not on the same level. You just admitted it. The Cardinals are not on the same level as the Cubs. That's the main reason for fan angst going into the season, playing for second place. That's from the 16th.
And I said, does that mean, I said, if everything goes right, can the Cardinals compete? Yeah, with the Cubs, absolutely. But if you ask me on paper right now, which team has the edge? I would say the Cubs.
Doug, Deke Dotem is tweeting this morning.
Well, he shouldn't because he's suspended indefinitely.
But he's a great American.
But he can't be suspended from Twitter. You don't own.
Not a great American.
You're not the majority shareholder of Twitter. The best resource on Twitter for hot baseball opinions is the Cats guy. He gives out the handle. His perspective on up-and-coming male porn stars has ended with me making a deposit at the bank many times. And by deposit, I mean scheduled emptying. And by bank, I mean Bryce Chandler's freshly shorn chest.
This is why he was suspended. Don't say shorn.
I didn't need that kind of help, Deke.
Yeah, there's a great American for you. Vileness. Vile.
Doug, your name is in the suspension log. Because you were vile.
It's over 2,000 followers. There are guys who host shows 5 days a week in St. Louis who don't have 2,000 followers.
Well, you can take it to the bank when he says something.
No, that's that Dotem. No, that's Dotem has 2,000.
Dotem now has 2,000.
Yeah. Okay. The Cats guy, I think, is sitting at 45, but he's been scouting for 20 years with the Sox.
I try to look, because if a guy's been a scout for 20 years, I'm going to give him his due.
And I think that would be great for us to have him on, then, especially, we can take it to the bank. That could be huge in these radio wars with Raby and Ackerman, two guys who seem like they were looking for fights down at the winter warm-up.
I hate to say it, but I was on Camo X at the winter warm-up.
I know, and I know you're going behind the scenes to infiltrate. I get it. Doug, they call it espionage, Jack.
Mm-hmm. I said, hey, what are these connections? These keep you on the air, and then as soon as I was done with my segment, I disconnected all of them.
Yeah, take that, Ben Boyd, right back at you, Jack.
Polar wire. Ben Boyd has taken 10 snips and clipped some of our wiring, knocked us off the air a time or two when we've been on locations.
Nice use of the word extrapolate, Tim, but I can't hear that word without thinking of strap play for some odd reason. Thanks. That's Scott's wrinkled ball sack. You know, what's going on here over the last couple of months is his wife has disappeared, and they kind of roped me in with hints at sapphic play. And now he has gotten very aggressive with gay come-ons toward me. Yeah. And now I feel like I'm in a...
It's a bait and switch, Tim.
They call it a bait and swee. A bait and swee.
You're not necessarily putting up the stop sign on it, though.
You're exactly right. Yeah,
it's Tim likes to keep his options open.
I do. He seemed a little bit curious.
I might head out to the Illinois Peninsula for some gay father activity.
Oh.
Guys, how cool is it when the BFib call him Bill DeWallet? It's awesome. Thanks, Craig the CPA.
If you like that entertainment, I'd recommend going to the Facebook page Cardinals Nation.
Is that where you active in there? I thought you were in the Blues Lounge.
I got kicked out of there and still have yet to be let back in. But Cardinal Nation is actually run by a really, really nice guy. But he does let a lot of people in. And there was one exactly what we were talking about yesterday. This was posted last night from a guy I doubt listens, saying, why are the Cardinals so cheap? Look at the Giants making moves. They're contenders. And all I said was, well, they're getting a bunch of bad contracts with guys that are going downhill.
You don't win an
offseason by the amount of moves that you make. That's just not how baseball works.
I, for the life of me, have no idea what a great organization, the best organization regarding as far as world championships go since 2010 in San Francisco is doing right now. I have if the Cardinals were doing that, If the Cardinals acquired Andrew McCutchen, and if the Cardinals acquired Longoria, which we thought might be in play, and I was bitching about while we thought it might be in play, I'd be beside myself. Because I not only think it wouldn't be successful in the upcoming season, I think it would penalize the organization for the next few seasons. And I, for the life of me, can't figure it out. I guess what they're trying to do is optimize the remaining years they have with the tandem of starters, I guess, and Posey. But God, I just, like, you got to be kidding me.
The fall for them will be dramatic, though. But, I mean, they'll be at rock bottom.
They were already considered to have a sketchy minor league system, which gave the Cardinals the supposed advantage in the Stanton sweepstakes. And now what have they done? I don't know what the hell they're doing. I don't know what the Pirates are doing. The Pirates GM Neil Huntington yesterday said we have this, you know, quote I'm referring to, we have the same chance to win the World Series now as we did before trading Cole and McCutchen.
Which is saying it was zero then and it's zero now, and that's not really what your fan base wants to hear.
Yeah.
Well, the Giants are coming off the season where they had their second worst record ever. They're not used to that. Their fans are not used to that. They're probably going into this thinking, we've got to improve. We just got to improve. That's not a season that we're going to repeat ever.
Agreed, but And who knows what Longoria is going to be? You know, McCutchen, you know, is still a very solid player. But when you strap yourself to the, sorry to use that word, to these big contracts, at some point you're going to have to pay the fiddler. You know, like for short term, what teams try to do is manage by improving now, but also managing the future too, which is sometimes a difficult thing to do.
I think McCutchen's only signed for another year.
Right, but you traded away equity with prospects.
Yeah, that's if they're any good,
if they're good prospects, if they're just guys, who cares? Go for it. If
they didn't have much in the cupboard, so they sent away some of their top guys. I mean, that's part of navigating the future, is making sure that you're prospects get a chance.
Yeah, if they're good.
Okay, it was a good deal.
I'm not saying it's a good deal. I think it's maybe a little early to say it's a horrible deal. I mean, Andrew McCutchen is an MVP quality player.
Right, and who knows?
And Longoria, you don't really know who they're giving up.
And Longoria could end up being, I'm not saying that he's totally done. I'm just pointing out the fact that Longoria seems to be on the other side, not quite the impact guy he was. It's a long contract with a lot of money. McCutchen, you know, had a good season last year, but he's had issues in the last couple of years. That's all I'm pointing out. I'm not saying it's a disastrous trade, but that's what teams try to do, is improve short-term while keeping an eye on long-term.
Right.
And this Tyler O'Neill lifts a lot of weights. See that from the...
Like a brick S house.
A lot of talk about his curls and his lat work. I didn't ask him about any of that.
Right. Does he have much of a chance to make the team? Probably not. You think?
As it sits now, but who knows?
Probably.
As it sits now, no.
No, you've already got Martinez and Grichuk as extra outfielders.
Which is those are two pretty good bench pieces. I mean, that's really good.
Probably not going to keep another outfielder on top of that. It would be Bader.
Why do you hate Bader? Seems like all you talk about is Tyler O'Neill. What about Bader?
I have noticed it.
Because of his lat work.
Calling the nation all day.
Guys, I bet a few members of the Cardinal Nation fan page are also members of the Aryan Nation fan page. It's just a hunt. That's from Timmy Tom Tom.
No, it's certainly not as bad as what you find at the Blues Lounge. And they let you speak your mind on the Cardinal Nation fan page. But with that comes the negatives, which is the guy who says the Giants are winning the offseason because they are, quote, making more moves.
I would actually probably be in this studio hot taking it if the Cardinals were doing exactly what the Giants were doing. I'd be beside myself. There was a move, and I don't know what year it was. It was probably 10, 11 years ago when the Giants, who had former Cardinal starter, who had some great years, Matt Morris, traded him to the Pittsburgh Pirates. For the life of me, I still don't know what the deal was about. I don't know if Morris had a buddy who was really good at FIFA on Xbox in Pittsburgh and he just wanted to be closer to him. I know that's one of his hobbies. I have no idea what that was about. It's not like the Pirates were competing. Morris is at the end of his career and they just shipped him over there, and like 2 weeks later, Morris retired. I still don't know what that was about. I'm looking with the same gasping observation of what the Giants are doing, And I can't believe, like, if this were like the Marlins doing it, I'd go, okay, they do weird crap and they try to, you know, rope in the handful of people who are willing to go to Marlins Park for baseball games down in Miami, you know, and then when it doesn't work out, they trade them off. They've done this like three times in the last 20 years. The Giants are a great organization, and I'm just really surprised. But like I said yesterday when talking about it on the Fan Page, I'm like, okay, I have no idea what they're doing, but somehow now they'll win the 2018 World Series. I don't know if they have the same thing in San Francisco that I guess is perceived by some fans in St. Louis, which is the Cardinals-Cubs thing, Giants-Dodgers thing. The Dodgers are clearly head and shoulders above, and so they've got to try to ingratiate themselves to the fans, but they're doing it with more of a short term. We're all in, I guess, if you want to call this all in, on 2018 strategy. But, I mean, if people are going to go, oh, God, wow, the Dodgers have to look over their shoulder now on the Giants. I just don't see that.
I don't think they're there. I'm not as down on the Andrew McCutchen deal as you guys are. He's only 31 years old. You don't have to go back 5 years when he was one of the best players in the game. You got to go back two. I don't necessarily think he's done. And you got to.
I didn't say he was done.
Nobody said he was done.
A franchise in San Francisco that's got a ton of money, and one in Pittsburgh that
they
apparently
have a ton
doesn't.
Of contracts. They have a ton of dead money, and that's a problem.
Well, but they've got the money to spend.
Like, I don't. Which baseball team doesn't outside of the Marlins?
Well, apparently the Pirates aren't very interested in keeping either Cole or McCutchen.
But see, I like what the Pirates are doing. If you're comparing it to the Giants, now I don't like what the Pirates GM is saying. But I don't like what the Giants are doing, because the Giants are setting themselves up for a few years of not being competitive, all on the outlier of being a competitor in 2018 with what they have. It's just not.
And what are the Pirates setting themselves up for? They're going to wait 3 years until these prospects are maybe good players?
Well, unfortunately, that's what the model right now is in baseball.
That's what the Astros just did for baseball, and they're. And that was a 5-year project.
I don't like it. I like what the Cardinals do. I like what the Cardinals do. And this is coming from somebody who wanted to see them lose going into July 31st of both of the last 2 years, because I didn't think they were championship contenders. So they could sell some of the assets that I think would have value in July that likely wouldn't have value in the offseason. Not because I'm anti-Cardinals. It's because I'm thinking of the next year. But the Cardinals are close. I don't think that you're looking at the Pirates being close, so they're doing the Astros-Cubs move.
If they're getting top-of-the-line prospect, the Astros got like the number one and two draft picks for a couple years there. They went through 3 or 4 years where they were horrendous.
So there's a lot of criticism right now regarding Manny Machado and the way things are in Baltimore. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
Okay, so what the Pirates are doing is going, okay, here's a guy. And it's a difficult spot because Andrew McCutchen, I think, is a hell of a lot more popular in Pittsburgh than Machado is in Baltimore. And they look at McCutchen as not only being a great player, but a really, really good guy in the face of the franchise for when it turned around for the first time since their last NLCS appearance in 1992. And they're trading him away. However, they know that they're not going to win the World Series this year. And so even though it's a difficult move, they might as well get assets now for somebody that isn't going to lead them to a championship this year. And from my standpoint, that's smart business and it's smart baseball. They might experience short-term loss and negative public equity to the fan base by doing it, but at least they're getting something in return, whereas they wouldn't be getting something in return just for the emotional satisfaction of not being the ones to trade Andrew McCutchen away. I think it's good business, right, even though it's a difficult decision.
That's a different situation than the Giants are in. The Giants aren't losing the superstar player. They're trying to get a couple of superstar players.
Are they superstars is the question.
Well, they have been in the past, and they're not exact. They're not like they're 37 or 38 years old. And just because you're getting prospects, it doesn't mean you're guaranteeing yourself a wild success two or 3 years down the road.
Well, McCutchen's on a one-year deal, but Longoria, you're on the hook for through 2022.
At big money.
And that was why when the Cardinals, when there were reports, we know that the Cardinals were involved. That doesn't mean that they actually were, but there were reports the Cardinals were interested in Longoria. I was just totally against it because you don't want albatross contracts. And the Giants already had them as it was. So that's what makes me question it. Ellen. Doug, this is Ellen.
Hello, Ellen.
Well, Happy New Year's, New Year, guys. How are you?
I say New Year. Are both
I say
acceptable?
Happy New Year. New Year seems like a lazy way of saying it.
I developed a lisp momentarily.
That's all right.
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Well, hi, Doug.
Well, hello, Ellen. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thanks. So I haven't followed the coverage as closely as I should have from the Cardinal winter warm-up, but did anybody ask about Lance Lynn?
The cat was too busy tweeting out bobbleheads to hold this franchise
accountable. What is your question about Lance Lynn?
Well, I don't understand. The Cardinals decided last season at some point that they were not going to re-sign Lance Lynn. They bring in Michaelis, whatever his name is, from Japan, which, boy, I hope he's good. But I just don't. There seems to be something we don't know about.
No, I've spoken about this.
I know you've said this. And
I'm just telling you.
I don't know what she's going to say.
That there's some, like Lance Lynn has chafed the organization by his, demeanor, right? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know what it would be. I think he seems like a very normal person.
I think he's great, but I'm just telling you what I've been told, and I believe it to be true. The Cardinals feel like their young pitchers. That's why they went and got Michaelis, because they may not be there now, but they're close. So the Cardinals thinking that Lance Lynn is going to get 5 years, four now, because some of the teams have bailed, but you know, at least four, maybe five, at a premium rate. And they feel like they don't need to pay someone a premium rate for that length of contract because their young pitchers are close and not four, maybe 5 years away. As simple as that. It's just economics, in their opinion. They think their younger guys will be more than ready to fill that void sooner than later, so they didn't want to get caught in a contract where they don't really need to pay that premium rate for that length of a contract. You can disagree with it, and I'm not saying, because if we're up to me, I would like the Cardinals to bring back Lance Lynn. He just had his Tommy John. He had a good year last year. I think he's only going to get better, and he gives you innings, and he wins games for you. And I think he sort of sets the tone for that rotation.
And he gives you experience, because Wainwright's going to be gone, and somebody's got to be sort of the leader of the pitching staff, I would think. And I don't – do they have anybody who sort of
– Not as long as Carlos Martinez is coloring his hair, he doesn't, right?
Oh, that's right.
Not with purple hair.
Yep.
Can't.
Nope.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. I'm kind of with you, Ellen. I think Lance Lynn last year was about the best starting pitcher they had. He had more quality starts. He was near the top of the league in quality starts.
And the year that he's supposed to be struggling because he's coming back from surgery.
Yeah. I'm surprised that there wasn't more interest in him also. I thought he would have been a priority.
Well, and I just, you know, I feel like the Cardinals talk out of both sides of their mouth. Yeah, we have money to spend, but you've got somebody who's clearly proven that he's a quality pitcher, and you know, maybe the last year of the contract isn't the greatest, but if you get four out of five good years, I would think you would call that a win.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, I would too.
I would too.
And
but the
so
Cardinals don't feel they need
really
to pay.
They need to
pay that to Lance Lynn. Like I said, and I'm sure on the text line will be why is Kat saying he hates Lance Lynn?
No, I already have from the 314 rights holder shuffle.
I want them to bring Lance Lynn back. I've said that before. I've said it all off season. I wish they would
have. Yeah, it's clear you really have a good rapport with him. I just feel like, I don't know, and maybe the fan base is getting a little bit of the Cardinals talk out of both sides of their mouths. I mean, they really do. It's just so annoying. Oh, we have money and we'll spend it, but we won't spend it on this guy. But we have money. I mean, it just is such a bunch of BS.
Allow me to. God, I can't believe I'm the guy doing this. But let me ask you this, Ellen. Do you believe the reports that the Cardinals were pursuing Giancarlo Stanton?
Yeah, I do, and I will say that's the one thing I was not thrilled about.
Okay, but whether or not you were thrilled about it is irrelevant to the point of whether or not they were willing to take on what is one of the largest contracts in the history of professional sports.
Right. No, that's...
What are you doing now? You asking
fair.
To step down or what?
She's very nice.
I know,
right.
I love
you
that.
Say
that
in a nice, comforting
right.
way. Okay, I think
yeah,
we get
let,
the point.
Let me help you down.
Yeah.
How about that?
Well, that's fine. I mean, it's... You know, and I guess it's all just what we all consider to be a priority.
But if they're willing
to
take on a $300 million contract, and it's one of the largest contracts in the history of professional sports, then how can one say that they're cheap?
I don't know that cheap's the right word. Maybe it's just me trying to micromanage and think that I'm a better GM than John Mozeliak, which clearly I'm not. But
which is fine, but the truth is, the Cardinals see areas that they're willing to spend, okay? To say they won't spend, I think, is wrong with the Stanton thing. That was an area they believed in Stanton. They were going to pay whatever it took to bring Stanton to the Cardinals. in other cases, they feel like they don't need to spend that kind of money to get the same return. So it's really a judgment call and has nothing to do with the miserly team locking down $100 bills in a meme.
Right. You aren't a scout with the Sox, are you, Ellen? Just on an off chance?
No.
All right.
I'm not. I'm a frustrated fan because I did read a little bit of the coverage, not all of it, and it just feels kind of like this cobbled together thing, and you know, it's sort of this and that, and we've still got, we're hoping that Mike Matheny is being bolstered by Oquendo and Mike Maddux, and the whole thing just feels really strung together to me, and it just doesn't feel like a sort of a complete situation either on the management side or the player side. And hopefully they go out and prove me wrong and win 100 games and whatever, but I just am very uncomfortable with what they seem to be putting out there.
Thing is, even if we disagree on the premise, the thing is you do have company in the Cardinal fan base. And once again, Derek Gould and I did before, I think that the playoffs were even like a week old, the angst in Cardinal fan base that hasn't been seen in a long time. And also, I would say this, and this is what I said, the cat, I know you weren't in yesterday, but for those who are on a bloodlust for somebody to be penalized if the team doesn't make the postseason, I would tell you, it's my opinion that if the Cardinals don't make the postseason, and I heard Rick Hummel say this, so this isn't just me on an island, that if the Cardinals don't make the postseason, Mike Matheny won't be the manager in 2019. Now, whether one agrees with that or disagrees with it, I'm just telling you that's my opinion and also Rick Hummel's opinion. And so I would imagine that that's an opinion shared by a number of people, and you know that he is unpopular. Now, there's a lot of people who go, well, if Mike Matheny's been given a roster that isn't a roster that's a championship-caliber roster, then why should he be the one penalized for those who are wanting to go after John Mozeliak? But I don't share that. Here's the toughest thing. We're analyzing the off season as if the off season is finished. And it's a weird spot because usually on this date, for the most part, it is, but it isn't yet. And I'm just not sure that they're done. If they are done, if we are sitting at our picnic table on February 12th, as is the scheduled day for the first broadcast of our 11th or 12th year at spring training, and this is the makeup of the bullpen, I have to tell you, I'll be surprised. Because to me, just getting Luke Gregerson doesn't seem like you've improved your bullpen, all while losing three other guys who have closed games. So that would be surprising to me. But there is the Alex Reyes variable, and there also is the variable that there are a number of pitchers and players still out there in free agency. And while the Cardinals might not be active in the free agent part of it, if they are not, then that could create a domino effect in the trade market. And so that's why I have a tough time at this point feeling like we're on the air analyzing the completion of the offseason when there's still about 40% left to go with the number of players that are still on the free agent market.
Right. Didn't DeWitt say that he's comfortable with the team they have going into spring training?
When I asked him, and we did the interview 2 weeks ago today, if I'm not mistaken, and the podcast was
No,
just...
I'm talking about Junior at the winter warm-up yesterday.
Well, he said exactly what his son said, which was when I said, are there moves still to be made? Which at the time when I was interviewing Bill DeWitt III, I figured that there were, and I'm still not sure that there aren't. But he said, in talking with John Mozeliak, Mozeliak believes, now this could upset Cardinal fans, that this team is good enough to get into the playoffs. With that said, we still have our eyes on doing something if it's a right move this offseason or at the trade deadline. Now, what that does, and I understand people feel like they've been hearing that for a number of years, and God, when's the last time the Cardinals made a substantial move at the trade deadline? I don't know if I'm missing one. Take your pick. What's substantial?
Zach Duke.
The cat would say Zach Duke. I would agree with you, Alan, that it would be Matt Holliday in 2009. And before that, Larry Walker in 2004. And that was actually after the trade deadline. But the point being, you hear that and then you don't see action. And I get why that would upset people. The thing that I counter that with is they did pick up a huge acquisition in Ozuna. And they have been competitive every year since 2000, and I like the idea of being competitive year in and year out, as opposed to, for example, the Pirates. They missed their window, and now you know, in Pittsburgh, if you're a baseball fan, and there aren't a whole lot there with the Steelers and Penguins, but if you are, you really have nothing to look forward to unless you're like a Blues fan in 2007 and you want to go come grow with us and watch those players try and develop and hope that they do, because they're not going to be competing this year. And in St. Louis, I don't believe that that's the mindset. The mindset is we're behind the Cubs. That pisses us off. We want to see more from the fan base who subscribes to that mindset. I just personally don't believe that that's what the organization is doing, is that we're just going to hoard money for profits purposes. I just don't think that's what's going on. And that's why I can't get all worked up on the radio over it, because I'd be being dishonest with the audience.
Well, I don't ever want you to do that, Tim.
No.
Now, what about these bobbleheads? Aren't they great, the giveaways? And I'm not trying to deflect attention,
right,
but the Cardinals have the best giveaway.
I have not paid them enough attention to the giveaways, but I'm going to go Google right now. So
they're
thank
wonderful.
You guys for giving me so much time.
Thank you, Ellen.
All right, Ellen.
Doug, there's Ellen. Doug, there's... I can't... Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to... All right.
What kind of chance do you give the Cardinals, if they don't make another big move, of winning the division? And if they don't have a real good chance of winning the division, are you really building this whole team around the chance to have a one-game wild-card playoff?
Winning the division, I would put the Cardinals' chances at this moment, also looking at the division. And who's, by the way, who's the third-place team right now in the division?
Brewers or Cardinals?
Brewers?
Yeah, I think you can discount the Pirates.
Brewers.
And the Reds, probably no hope.
Right. So I would put the Cardinals' chance at winning the division at this moment 28%.
I think that's probably higher than what most people would put it at.
Well, I'm comfortable with not being with most people.
Yeah, I don't think that most people think they have that much of a chance to overtake the Cubs this year, barring another major move. It just feels like the big problem last year was that bullpen. They blew so many games, and they... Right now, their answer to fix it has been a guy who was mediocre, a mediocre setup guy with the Astros who had a 4.5 ERA. I don't think a lot of people think, well, the Cardinals got better. They didn't get better in the bullpen. They're not better. I don't think. It feels like they're a big piece away in the bullpen.
I agree with you, but I don't. See, here's the thing. I agree with that. But there's two different arguments, so to speak, going on in St. Louis, if they even are. There's the argument that the Cardinals haven't done enough this offseason with the bullpen, which, as I have said, if we were sitting at the picnic table on February 12th and this is the Cardinal bullpen, I would be surprised. I suppose the one X factor in it is what is the plan with Alex Reyes. And as the Cat said, that might already be in place, but we don't know it. But with that said, just acquiring Gregerson isn't the thing that I would have thought when you're saying that's your priority and you know you have all these resources would be enough. I want to emphasize again the thing that I at this point is ad nauseum, which is the Cardinals and every other team in baseball. I mean, I can't imagine what Boston Sports Talk Radio would be like if they didn't have the Patriots going right now with what the Red Sox have not done and with what the Yankees have done. But I'm sure they're distracted by the AFC Championship for the seventh straight year. So with that said, I think there's still time to see it play out. But if they don't tend to the bullpen, I would agree 100% that that is a surprise, especially when it was listed as the top priority. The second argument, which I think is the more prevalent one, is that the organization is cheap, or the organization is being dishonest, or the organization is just happy with the $3.4 million coming through and just being mediocre. And I disagree with that vehemently. And
yeah, I don't agree with that either.
But I still think those things go hand in hand,
in my opinion, with a lot of folks, because they didn't fix the bullpen. It's because they're cheap. And I'll say it again. I think they need to make a couple of moves. I'm saying that I think they need another guy in the bullpen, maybe a starter. I'd like to see another bat as well. I don't think it's because they're cheap. And I think it could be that they're looking at Reyes as the guy. If they said Reyes is fine and he's going to be the guy at the end of ball games, would you say, yeah, that helps the bullpen?
Yeah, if he can pitch.
But then
So then the rotation in your mind is, and if you would order accordingly, who is one?
There's the three W's.
Carlos is one.
Okay, two is
Weaver.
Yeah, and that's right there. I know you're not defending, but I'm asking so we can visualize this for those who aren't rattling off rotations in their head. So you would go Carlos. I think we would all agree with that, I guess, is the one.
or Waka, Weaver, Waka.
And there's a Waino and
Mike
there.
Now they believe in Mikeless, and I understand folks haven't seen him. I was talking to at the winter meetings other folks from other teams, and they feel like a lot of teams now have a better handle on what numbers in Japan translate to but who knows until you see it. But that's what I'm saying. If Reyes is not in the rotation, then that rotation is too light. They need another starter. I've said that all along. If Reyes is your guy in the bullpen.
And if they don't think Reyes is ready to be a starter, I would guess that Flaherty would be the number six starter.
I neglected to say Flaherty is in the mix there somewhere.
But based on what he did last year, I don't think a lot of people have a lot of confidence that he's going to be a big winner right now anyway.
Right.
So many question marks on everybody outside Carlos Martinez. Wainwright's a year older. Waka could have a shoulder injury. Can Weaver handle this many innings? I think you're in desperate need of a starter because you know an injury is going to happen.
That's why.
And Flaherty did not look promising. It's early. I get it.
Yeah.
But that is also very alarming. So starter, where I go.
And I've said that all along. If Reyes is your guy in the bullpen, then they need another starter. That's why I wanted them to bring back Lance. Who would fill that role perfectly to be that guy, number two, number three, give you innings? It's Lance Lynn. Now, if they don't want to go whatever the length is, that's why I was hoping they would get another guy that would fit perfectly as Arrieta. But to me, they get Arrieta. I feel a lot better about the rotation.
We got a break. Top of the hour here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. We'll continue the discussion. Derek Gould will join us at 8:30. We will get into what we have been talking about. I think we just talked sports for an hour for the first time since, I think it was 2011's World Series.
We did it with passion, Tim.
Well, I heard some consultants were in again from Billings. And I'm like,
we'd like to land a gig out in Big Sky Country.
So, you would love that.
You would love that. Plowhawk, you could live with your sister, right? Yeah, you're gold. All right, and I see Larry Nichols on hold, and I know he has takes as well. So it's a big 8 o'clock hour. Send your emails in. Hot Shots email today, the morning after at insidestl.com. The morning after at insidestl.com. This is the Ryan Kelly Morning After.